Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to Tech Stuff, a production from iHeartRadio. Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, Jonathan Strickland. I am an executive producer with iHeartRadio. And how the tech are you? I am recording live here from the iHeart Podcast Studio, powered by Bose at the House of Music at the iHeartRadio Music Festival. I'm sure you're going to be able to hear some of the ambience, let's call it, here at the festival. And that's just proof that I'm actually here. I don't know how that happened. I am nowhere near cool enough to have been invited here. I guess they didn't listen to the show first. That's fine with me, though. There's some pretty incredible musical acts that are going to be rocking out in the arena that's right in front of me, and I will sit here and talk about geeky tech stuff. So the question is then, what topic should I cover for this episode? And I asked myself that several times. I had a lot of possible answers. Maybe I could talk about the tech of running a concert, for example. There's a lot of tech involved in that. Maybe I could just talk about the tech needed to make sure a band's equipment's all working properly. I could talk about sound systems or lasers or pyrotechnics or all sorts of stuff. But I'm in Vegas, baby. And what's more, I'm staying at a hotel that's owned by MGM Resorts. So I think the topic to tackle is the recent hacker attack on that company. So what exactly happened? Who is responsible, or who do we think is responsible? How did it unfold? And what are the ongoing consequences? So sit back, folks. It's time to do a casino heist podcast episode, Tech Stuff style. Now, originally I thought I'd do a quick history of MGM Resorts International, you know, the company that became the target of the hackers. But as it turns out, that company's history is, let's say it's super complicated. And it overlaps the history of MGM Studios, the film company, as well as numerous other companies, both within the gambling world and beyond. So rather than go through all of that, which would be confusing in an entire episode by itself, I'm just going to kind of give you a summary. So since the mid-1980s, the company that we now call MGM Resorts International has had some major ups and downs. It has also, over time, swallowed up other companies that operated resorts and casinos in Vegas and in other places. Today, MGM Resorts International operates, but does not own, numerous resorts in Vegas and beyond. Among the Vegas properties are the MGM Grand and assorted MGM properties like Park MGM, the Bellagio, the Aria, the Cosmopolitan, New York, New York, Excalibur, the Luxor, Mandalay Bay, and some more. And it also has a more than 40% ownership of the T-Mobile Arena, the building that is directly in front of me. Just the building, however. They do not own the land. The company made somewhere in the neighborhood of $13 billion in revenue last year. That was an increase from nearly $9.7 billion from the year before. And it seems that 2022 saw the highest revenues in the company's history so far. Of course, revenue is not the same as income. That's more to the tune of $1.4 billion for 2022. That's a lot of money, a princely sum, as I might say. They own more than $30 billion worth of assets. So in other words, to enterprising thieves, MGM Resorts International is a tempting target. Heck, that's the stuff of heist movies, right? Except a heist is typically a high-risk endeavor, and it's almost bound to fail. Successful heists have happened in the past, even in Vegas, but more often than not, the house comes out on top. Moving the heist into the realm of computer systems becomes a different matter, however. It's more likely that you can find a way to pull off your crimes while you protect yourself. Now, before we move on to the actual hacking attack, I also need to mention the company Caesars Entertainment. Like MGM, Caesars has a really, really complicated history. It's filled with mergers and acquisitions and sales and even bankruptcies. It gets bonkers. The most recent move of that company was in 2020. That's when another company called Eldorado Resorts Incorporated acquired Caesars Entertainment Corporation. Then Eldorado Resorts changed its own name to Caesars Entertainment. But there are other companies that are lumped in there as well, like Harrah's Entertainment is part of that. Anyway, in 2015, Caesars went into bankruptcy, and as part of the effort to get out of bankruptcy, the company split into two entities. One would be a company that would actually operate the various resorts and casinos. The other would be what is called a real estate investment trust, or REIT, which would actually own all the properties. To get into REITs is beyond the scope of the show, but y'all, they can be monsters. Anyway, the spin-off REIT took the name Vici, after Vinny Vidi Vici. You know, I came, I saw, I conquered. So Vici technically owns many, 19 in fact, of Caesars properties. But here's the wild thing. Last year, Vici acquired ownership of 13 MGM properties. So both Caesars Entertainment and MGM Resorts International pay rent to Vici in order to operate their respective casinos. So you want to know what the power behind the throne is? Look to Vici. Anyway, while all those dealings are worthy of a deep and engrossing podcast series, this is a hint. Somebody make a podcast series about these real estate companies and their involvement in Las Vegas, because it is fascinating. But our focus should really be on the hacker attacks. Now, it is important that I mention Caesars, because while the attack on MGM's properties was the major attack that's been in the news for a couple of weeks now, those same hackers, or at least some of them, first targeted Caesars Entertainment a little earlier. Two of the biggest gambling companies in the world have fallen prey to hackers, and it appears that the foothold the hackers established came courtesy of a third-party security firm, and also involves a very important company in tech, namely Okta. Now, y'all, the hacker attack is bad news for MGM. There's no way around it. But I would actually argue it could be way worse for Okta, at least as far as reputations go. And that's because Okta is an identity and access management company. This is the company that markets the user authentication system that tons of other companies rely upon. With Okta, a company can hand over the trickier elements of user authentication. So as companies grow more complex, they might add more systems that employees rely upon. And it can be a hassle if you need a different login for every single service you use. A service like Single Sign-On really simplifies things. You have a username and password, and that gives you access to a suite of different services all with just one login. So you can see where the value of that is, right? Well, with Okta, a company can hand over all of this and Okta handles it, and you pretty much have to just trust Okta to be a good steward of this process. Now, Todd McKinnon and Frederick Karist co-founded Okta back in 2009. The company has been the focus of a couple of security incidences since its founding. In 2021, a hacker group secured limited access to Okta systems by compromising a camera network inside the Okta offices, specifically a system designed by Verkada, a company that I should probably talk about in a future episode. In early 2022, a different hacker group known as Lapsus accessed Okta's systems. This time, the attack vector was a third-party support engineer. Lapsus shared information suggesting that the data breach was far greater than what Okta was telling the public, but Okta executives really held their ground. They said that only around 2.5% of Okta's customers were potentially impacted by this data breach, and that the hackers had limited access to customer data. Okta said the data breach lasted for less than half an hour, and it only hit two customers, whereas Lapsus claimed it maintained a presence in Okta's systems, or this client of Okta's systems, for the better part of a week. Now, that attack was bad, but it could have been worse. And to be totally fair to Okta, it was really the third-party security person who was at fault for the breach, though I never really saw details on exactly what happened with that one. I imagine it was something fairly similar to what we are talking about today. So let's set the scene. We're not going to go strictly chronologically because some information we wouldn't know about until later. So we're going to be jumping around a little bit. For the purposes of our story, we'll begin on September 10th, 2023. That day, some folks who were staying at MGM Resort International Properties began to encounter errors while they were trying to interface with various systems connected to those properties. The following day, September 11th, 2023, things got much worse. Players who were members of MGM Resort's loyalty program saw that their loyalty features weren't working. The websites went down. People staying at MGM properties found that their digital keys that they depended on their smartphones, they weren't working anymore. They couldn't get into their rooms using their digital keys. These effects got worse. You know, a lot of video slot machines went offline. That was a huge indicator that something really bad had happened. Sports betting features were interrupted. Even ATMs on casino floors went out of service. At 11:27 a.m. Eastern Time, MGM Resorts posted on X, you know, the platform formerly known as Twitter, a little message, and it read, quote, "MGM Resorts recently identified a cybersecurity issue affecting some of the company's systems. Promptly after detecting the issue, we quickly began an investigation with assistance from leading external cybersecurity experts. We also notified law enforcement and took prompt action to protect our systems and data, including shutting down certain systems. Our investigation is ongoing, and we are working diligently to determine the nature and scope of the matter." End quote. You know it's serious when they say that they responded promptly and quickly. When you get both of those back to back, you know it's a bad, bad time. And what exactly happened? Well, I'll tell you after we come back from this quick break. Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's CONCUR.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do.
Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, we're back. You are listening to Tech Stuff live at the iHeart Podcast Studio, powered by Bose at the House of Music at the iHeart Radio Music Festival in the house that John built. This is a pretty incredible experience. Whenever I look up, I'm just seeing tons of people in various trendy outfits wandering around, getting ready for the festival and hanging out at the House of Music. It's pretty cool. Again, I feel like I'm totally out of place here, but they invited me, so I guess I should just embrace it. So we're going to jump back into this cybersecurity incident that hit a couple of major gaming and hotel companies and dozens of properties. So, as you might expect, speculation ran rampant regarding the nature of the cybersecurity issue that MGM Resorts International mentioned. Some thought that it could just be a massive systems failure. Like, you know, maybe some key system that connects everything went down. Some people figured it had to be a ransomware attack. Lots of folks assumed that the issue would receive a ton of coverage on certain podcasts. No one mentioned me, which just hurts my feelings. And folks were complaining right away about the issues they encountered. One ex-user posted, quote, "We are at one of your resorts. It's pretty widespread. We can't check in, pay with card, use comps, receive our gifts, get tickets out of machines," end quote. Others claimed they had unexplained charges on their bills. Some of these incidents happened before September 11th, so whether they are accurate or maybe they reflect some other issue that's unrelated to this, or maybe they're the attempt of cashing in on a bigger problem, I can't say. I don't know. I just know people reported it. The websites for various MGM resorts, as well as the sites for restaurants on MGM properties, all went down. MGM replaced its website with kind of a landing page that directed people to call resorts directly. So it just listed each resort and its phone number. So you would have to call them on the phone, you know, like a caveman. That's a joke. I'm old. I still call places on occasion. The following day, MGM Resorts gave an update saying that much of its services were operational, including entertainment, dining, and gaming. But people were still encountering issues. There were still problems with slot machines. Hand pay became the method to cash out. This is when you have to signal for a casino employee to come over and count out by hand your winnings, rather than getting the machine to print out a ticket and you take that ticket to a payout machine, feed it in, and then you get your cash that way. The ATMs were still having issues. People still couldn't check in online. They could not make a card payment to book a room at that point. Lines were forming at the desks of various MGM resort properties because you couldn't use your digital keys at all. So you couldn't just check in with your phone and then use your phone to get into your room. You had to go and get a physical key card. It was still like an RFID chip key card so you could hold it up to the door and it would open, but you had to have one. You couldn't just use your phone to do it. So that meant everybody had to go and wait in line to get a key. On September 12th, we heard that a hacker group called Alpha, A-L-P-H-V, actually, that's the way they style their name. Sometimes they're also called Black Cat. We heard that they could have been behind the attack. Now, the Black Cat name actually comes from malware that this group has created, you know, some malicious software, ransomware, to be precise. And Alpha introduced that in late 2021. And here's how an Alpha attack would typically work out. So the group would end up collaborating with someone to inject the malware into a targeted system. That person might be a disgruntled employee of the target. Maybe they're not even disgruntled. Maybe they're just very greedy, because Alpha would offer up to 90% of a ransom to the quote-unquote affiliate. The affiliate could also be some other hacker group that its job is just to gain access to a system through some means. And Alpha would provide the malware while the other group actually would get access to the target. It would become this, you know, this collaborative effort. Now, this means the business model for Alpha is RAAS. That stands for Ransomware as a Service. That as a service trend has gotten out of control, y'all. So these hackers, who primarily communicate on Russian language platforms, build the tools, but they don't necessarily carry out the attacks themselves. They're facilitators. The Black Cat malware encrypts a target computer system, so it makes it inaccessible to the system's rightful owner. So imagine you log into your computer, but you find out you can't access anything. All the files are encrypted. All the methodologies are encrypted. You can't decrypt it, so it's just a brick. Without the key, the data on your machine stays out of your reach. And then you see a message, and the message tells you that the hackers will give you access back to your data. They will give you the decryption key, but only if you pay them a ransom. Usually, this is in the realm of millions of dollars. Typically, they ask for it in the form of cryptocurrency to avoid being traced back to the people responsible. And if you don't pay up, the hackers will say either you will not get access to your data again, it's just gone, or they'll delete it. Sometimes they'll say, all right, we won't delete it. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to release all that data on a public platform so that anyone and everyone can see what it is. Typically, ransomware hackers want to target organizations that have a lot of money and a lot of incentive to protect data. Now, pretty much every organization has an incentive to protect its data, at least to some extent. Information is the currency of the modern era, after all. And while you can't spend information, you can sure affect the value of a company by stealing their information. But ransomware hackers typically want to target organizations that have access to buckets of cash. So prime targets for these hackers ideally fall into a couple of categories. If it's a really big company and its business depends upon the safekeeping of information, particularly really personal information, that ends up being a big target. So hospitals and other healthcare companies fall into that category. By law, these companies are meant to keep patient data secure. They're in big trouble if they don't. And obviously, any healthcare company that fails to live up to that would have a massive problem, not just from the government or from law enforcement, but you know, they would lose the confidence of patients. And patients could have their lives really upturned if their personal health information gets shared everywhere. So the thinking goes that those companies are more likely to pay a ransom in order to make the problem go away. That's why ransomware hackers target healthcare companies so frequently. They have a very high incentive to get the problem fixed as quickly as possible. Well, casinos and resorts definitely fall into a similar category, right? First, you've probably heard the phrase, the house always wins. Well, that phrase references the fact that the odds are ever in the favor of the house. You might have a good night at the tables, and you might leave with more money than you brought with you. But lots of other people will end the night down with less money than what they started with. Or maybe you'll also be down a little bit, and other folks will also be down a bit, and some of them might be down a lot. All casino games favor the house. And that makes sense, because if they didn't favor the house, then casinos would soon be out of business, right? So instead, collectively, the casinos in Nevada can make at least $1 billion every month. That's across all the casinos in Nevada. Some games will give you better shot at winning than other games. Blackjack is a game that has fairly decent odds, somewhere in the neighborhood of 40% to win. Dealers have about a 49% chance to win. And you might think, oh, 49 plus 40, that's not 100. Well, that's because the rest of the odds kind of cover the case where you could have a draw or a push where you go to the next hand. Meanwhile, games like Keno or the Wheel of Fortune, they have some of the worst odds in gambling. So that doesn't mean you're destined to lose if you play, but the chances are pretty darn high. So anyway, this means that casinos make a lot of money. If I might elaborate, they make a crap ton of money, and that puts them firmly in one of the categories that ransomware hackers love to target, companies that are flush with cash. On top of that, these casinos deal with a lot of customer data, whether it's someone staying at a resort or a gambler who has signed up to participate in a loyalty program, which is a pretty frequent thing because the casinos here have lots of incentives to get people to sign up to their loyalty programs. You can get gifts, you can, you know, redeem credits, you can get a free room if you're a frequent gambler and you're part of the loyalty program. There are a lot of reasons for that. In return, one, the casino has a repeat customer, which is very valuable, and two, the casino can gather data about the people who visit their resorts and learn more about them and thus cater to them more and make even more money. So this information has value, not just because of how it can be used to advertise to individuals. That's often what we talk about when we talk about data in the modern world. But it has value because the customers are trusting the casinos with this information, even if they aren't aware of the implications. And so when there is a data breach, suddenly customers get very much concerned about that data. It affects them directly. If there's the possibility that the customer's own finances could be compromised, that's a huge problem for both the customer and the casino. So this means casinos and resorts are in that sweet spot for ransomware hackers. So how did we find out about Alpha's alleged involvement with the MGM Resorts International hack? Well, one early statement came from the X account, the Twitter account, of a group called VX Underground. Now, VX Underground bills itself as the largest collection of malware source code, samples, and papers on the internet. And they work with lots of researchers, they work with hackers, they work with tons of people, largely to educate about malware. They are rather cheeky, I would say. They kind of have that cheeky sense of hackers. They do not necessarily come across as being buttoned down, let's say. So on September 12th, VX Underground posted, "All Alpha ransomware group did to compromise MGM Resorts was hop on LinkedIn, find an employee, then call the help desk. A company valued at $33.9 billion was defeated by a 10-minute conversation," end quote. Now, MGM did not comment on this, and as far as I'm aware, has never actually referenced their cybersecurity incident as an attack. But lots of other folks have not been in the mood to mince words. And the information that would come out later seemed to align with what VX Underground was claiming. The attack happened through social engineering. So stage one, you learn about the person you're going to impersonate. You find someone on LinkedIn who has listed their job title and where they work. If you can find someone who has a very high profile job title, something that's really high up in an organization, that's potentially much better. Or if it's not high up, at least someone who works within the IT department, because that typically means you're going to find someone who has a lot of access to the systems if you're able to compromise their account. Now, I have talked about social engineering a ton on this show, how it is a huge part of hacking. See, if you've got a system that is, at least in theory, really well secured, your best bet of infiltrating the system is to target a vulnerability. And sometimes you find out about technical vulnerability, right? You might find out that there's a vulnerability in some software that a company is dependent upon. And by targeting that software vulnerability, you can penetrate the system. You can gain access to it. You can get a foothold there. And if you're really good or really quick and or really lucky, you can exploit that vulnerability and then you're in. Obviously, there's way more to it than that. I mean, just because you get access doesn't mean that you can do anything. And even if you can do something, you might get found out before you're able to really do a lot of damage. But you get the idea. That's one method of penetrating a secure system, is you target a vulnerability in some software. But another way is not to worry about the tech side that much at all. You target people. You look at people who have access to the system you want to infiltrate. People are frequently, in fact, almost always, I would say, the weakest point of a security system. If you can convince someone who has access to hand that access over, you're in. Maybe you outright trick the person. Maybe you pose as someone in authority, or maybe someone who needs help, and you convince them to do something they absolutely shouldn't do. As it turns out, most of us anyway, if we are presented with someone who is saying that they really need help, they're in desperate need of some assistance, we want to try and be the person to give them that assistance. It's not universally true, but it's true often enough that this approach works a lot. Or maybe instead you actually are promising this person a cut of the money. Maybe you're counting on their greed to push them into granting you access. If you target someone who has a lot of administrative access to a system, but they are not in a high-paying job, sometimes just promising them that, you know, sweet, cold, hard cash is enough to let them be kind of a conspirator on your side. Now, in this case, it seemed that someone talked to a third-party IT staffer, and as part of that conversation, they convinced the IT staffer to reset some multi-factor authentication settings so that the hackers could gain access to a single sign-on system, you know, the kind of stuff that Okta provides. Now, I'm guessing a lot of you know that there are different levels of access with computer systems, you know, whether we're talking about a network or even just a single computer. So, for example, a user typically has limited access to a computer or a system. They might be able to do stuff like, you know, open specific programs and call up files and that kind of thing. But to make actual changes to the computer, the user might need administrator access. While other levels of access come with specific permissions, an administrator level access has no such restrictions. And so the attackers wanted to target accounts that would have the highest administrator access to systems to have as much opportunity to do whatever they wanted as they could. So on September 14th, news broke that Caesars Entertainment had also been the target of a ransomware attack. The company had filed a report with the SEC on September 7th. In that report, the company leads with Caesars Entertainment Incorporated, the company we or are, because it's an official filing, recently identified suspicious activity in its information technology network resulting from a social engineering attack on an outsourced IT support vendor used by the company. Our customer-facing operations, including our physical properties and our online and mobile gaming applications, have not been impacted by this incident and continue without disruption. End quote. So that's a big difference between the Caesars attack and what happened at MGM. The report goes on to say that an investigation determined that the hackers were able to access information in Caesars Entertainment's loyalty program interface. Obviously, that includes customer information, including stuff like driver's license numbers and/or social security numbers. If you enroll in these, you typically have to allow them to make a copy of things like your driver's license in order to get the benefits of the loyalty program. Now, that's clearly a risk for things like identity theft. They said there was no evidence that the hackers were able to access things like passwords, bank account information, or payment card information, so that's good. But the identity theft issue is still a big concern. They did say they would offer credit monitoring to all members of the loyalty program and that it had already taken steps, quote, to ensure that the stolen data is deleted by the unauthorized actor, end quote. So how do they make sure that this data gets deleted by a party they have no control over? Most folks interpreted that to mean that Caesars had paid the ransom. Now, the rumor mill said that the hackers were asking for $30 million, and in return, they would pinky swear that they would delete the stolen data. Caesars ultimately agreed to pay $15 million. $15 million to delete information. Yowza. By the way, $15 million means that technically this would have been the second most successful casino heist that I have ever encountered. And granted, it's not quite the same as a casino heist, but then number one really isn't either. I'll talk more about that toward the end of this episode. In fact, we'll talk a lot more about the hackers and what they did, but we're going to take another quick break. Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Okay, we're back. You're listening to Tech Stuff live at the iHeart Podcast Studio, powered by Bose at the House of Music at the iHeart Radio Music Festival. All right, moving forward a little bit more. Around September 15th, a different hacker group called Scattered Spider claimed responsibility for the MGM attack, but not the Caesars attack. VX Underground referred to Scattered Spider as a subgroup. According to numerous sources, this group mostly consists of young hackers, think like 17 to 22, who live in places like the United States and the United Kingdom. They appear to be native English speakers or extremely fluent English speakers, and they have a reputation for being very, very good at social engineering. Scattered Spider is suspected of using tools like phishing websites in addition to social engineering. So they typically will direct someone to a login page that looks like it's a legit page, but in fact, it allows the hackers to fish for credentials. As for multi-factor authentication, calling an IT help desk to reset MFA is an effective way to get around that. There's also SIM card swapping that they've done, where they've convinced phone companies to swap a digital SIM card to a different device. They pose as a customer, and then they talk the telecommunications rep on the other end of the line to change a SIM card setting, which then gives them the ability to access things like multi-factor authentication. When the code gets sent, instead of going to the valid person, it goes to their phone number, which has now been switched to a different phone's SIM card. Very nefarious. Now, you might wonder about resetting multi-factor authentication, why anyone would even agree to do that in the first place. I mean, the whole point of multi-factor authentication is to have multiple ways of authenticating a person's identity. But with just a little thinking, it becomes clear. So let's say that you call into an IT help desk and you claim that you can no longer access your work account because you recently changed phone numbers. So that means that when you try to log in, you're getting a text message sent to your old phone number and you can't receive it. So you are talking with them saying, I need you to switch this because I still have my username, I still have my password, but I can't get access because I no longer have that phone and I need to be able to access my work. So you ask for a reset. Maybe you have a lot of information about the person that you're posing as so that you can convince the person on the other end of the phone call that you're legitimate. Again, that's what you do with the investigation when you're using LinkedIn to learn a little bit about your kind of patsy, if you will. Maybe you just sound really clueless and stressed and you just trigger the IT person's desire to help you get out of a tight spot. Like I said, most of us typically want to help someone when they are really struggling. They reset the MFA on the account. They put a new phone number in that, a phone that you happen to control, and now you don't have to worry about that multi-factor authentication process anymore. So I want to be clear, Scattered Spider, these are not script kiddies, right? These are not people who just download some code and then they make use of it. They have an understanding of how computer and cloud systems work. They have an understanding of how the underlying businesses work. They do their homework. By knowing how these businesses work, they know how to target and make their social engineering efforts have the best chance for success. So I want to be clear, like, they are good at what they do. They're not just fast talkers. They know their stuff. So it's possible that they were involved in one or maybe even both of the attacks, though again, they weren't claiming that. However, Alpha has also claimed responsibility for the MGM attack, and they argued that any reports stating it was teenagers were inaccurate and based on rumors. There was another rumor that Alpha was very quick to deny that was reported in at least some outlets that had to do with slot machines. So according to this rumor, and I love this rumor, but according to this rumor, Scattered Spider originally wanted to essentially reprogram slot machines so that they just started to pay out cash, kind of like a scene that's in, you know, the Ocean's 11 movies. Except this would mean that the slot machines would sort of spit out tickets, kind of like receipts with winnings on them. The rumor goes that the hackers found this wasn't really possible. In fact, one of the rumors said that the person who was making the suggestion hadn't even seen the Ocean's 11 movies. So they were just talking about something they had heard of and wanted to try. And when they found out that it wasn't going to be as easy as they thought, they moved on to just steal data from the computer systems. Now, Alpha categorically says, this story is totally false. It's completely fiction, and that it somehow got, you know, circulated among news outlets. What's the truth? I don't know. Back to Okta. So David Bradbury, the CEO of Okta, has said that social engineering attacks are at the root of 5 Okta clients who have recently found themselves compromised by ransomware attacks, and that Caesars Entertainment and MGM Resorts are 2 of those 5, but he hasn't named the other 3. He also referenced Scattered Spider and Alpha as business associates or affiliates, suggesting that at least some of the hacks of Okta clients are the product of cooperation between these 2 groups. So this story is still unfolding as I record here in Las Vegas right now. Currently, MGM Resorts International says that all operations are back to normal. That's how everything's being reported. and that it's continuing to investigate the quote-unquote cybersecurity issue, that the FBI is involved, and that they're taking this very seriously. There are concerns that these attacks will have a hefty impact on the value of both MGM and Caesars Entertainment. It certainly had an impact on MGM's ability to generate revenue while all this was going on. Loyalty program members should probably sign up for credit monitoring because a lot of their personal information is stored in those systems, and it sounds like hackers got access to all of that stuff. So credit monitoring is not a bad idea if you want to make sure that your information hasn't just started been trading around on the dark web and people start like taking out credit cards under your name, that kind of thing. So probably a good idea, at least to keep an eye on your credit. It's easier if you do sign up for credit monitoring, but you can do it on your own if you're really diligent about it. But yeah, scary stuff. I'll also say this. So I've been staying at the Aria, like I said, which is an MGM Resorts property, and have encountered some technical glitches, which may or may not have any connection to the hackers. According to the people I spoke with, they recently used a new computer system and brought it online, and that the issues they're running into may very well just be working the bugs out of a new system and have nothing to do with the hackers at all. But what I will say is that they have connected essentially all room controls through an internet interface, and you can use a tablet or I assume an app to be able to access those things. But when I got to my room, what I found was that I could not close the curtain on the window. I could not turn off the lights in my room. None of the buttons worked. The tablet that was part of the room would not connect. I did not want to use the app for reasons that I think should be pretty obvious. And so, again, I don't want to say that that's part of the hacker attack, but it was unfortunate to have that sort of experience right on the tail end of this hacker issue. It's concerning, and it's one of those things that will continuously come up. Another thing I will say, this again, not directly connected to the hacker attack, but just something that I observed, the Wi-Fi in that hotel is an open Wi-Fi connection. Like, you can just connect to it and you do a little sign on a web landing page, but then you're connected. There's no password security on the Wi-Fi network at all. And I gotta tell you, if you are a major hotel that has just been the target of a massive ransomware attack, maybe you should start offering a password-protected Wi-Fi network. I'll tell you this, I won't connect to it unless I'm using a VPN. I just refuse to do it. They may be perfectly safe, but it might not be. With an open network like that and a recent attack in not even a week old at this point, like there were still issues unfolding this past week, don't do it. So yeah, interesting observations. As for moving forward, I think these attacks are the most recent reminders that organizations have to make some really big decisions about cybersecurity. Now, part of that really involves an ongoing educational approach that reinforces how to spot social engineering and phishing schemes, and why it's important not to share credentials or to act on suspicious emails or phone calls. This is particularly true for people who are working in positions that have administrative level access to certain computer systems within an organization. If we count the ransom that Caesars allegedly paid to have sensitive customer data deleted as a heist, like I said, it would be the second biggest casino heist in history, from what I can tell, at least from a monetary standpoint. If you're wondering what is the number one, well, that goes to a Kiwi, a New Zealander named James Manning, who with the help of a casino services manager managed to cheat his way to $33 million by cheating at blackjack. So supposedly he and this casino employee were able to breach the security camera system, and they used things like hand signals and stuff in order to cheat on 8 successive hands of blackjack that ultimately resulted in $33 million of winnings. Manning was confronted and then by casino security And then he was banned from the Crown Casino in Melbourne, Australia, after they picked up on the scam. And fortunately, before the casino had actually credited him most of his winnings. So he didn't walk away with $33 million. The casino chose to keep this matter quiet rather than suffer embarrassment by admitting that they got taken for $30 million. This was made a little more complicated because Manning was supposed to participate in a PR stunt later in that week. He was supposed to order an outrageously expensive cocktail called the Winston. The Winston was priced at $12,500 for a single cocktail. The casino had even promoted that this was going to happen, so this was going to be like an event type of thing, and that it would establish a Guinness World Record for the most expensive cocktail ever purchased. But with Manning's scam uncovered and then him banned from the casino, they had to scramble to come up with an alternative customer, and then they had to arrange to pay the guy back. So really, it wasn't a purchase at all. Like, money changed hands, but it changed hands back, so there was no real purchase here. By the way, that story also has its own share of drama and scandal that goes beyond what I just said, but I think we've had enough for one episode, if you ask me. So that means that we're reaching the point where it's time for me to sign off from the iHeart Podcast Studio, powered by Bose, here at the iHeart Radio Music Festival in Las Vegas, Nevada. And maybe, in light of these recent hacker attacks, we should actually change that saying to say the house almost always wins. I hope you are all well, and I'll talk to you again really soon. Tech Stuff is an iHeartRadio production. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.